Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
And we are joined by the vegan. Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Hey, you all right?
Good. Thank you, mate. So, where do we start? The press conference, the prediction that I absolutely blew you both out of the water with.
You did, so, yeah.
I mean, you're technically closer.
I mean, I did say that it was likely going to be triple figures and I stopped counting at 90 because I realised that at 39, I was done.
And also, there was some of that press conference was carried on with the cameras off and there was like some further conversation, questions, answers. So yeah, it could have been four figures by the time he'd finished it.
Quite possibly. But yeah, I mean, he came across well.
Yes, he did. I quite like the fact that...
Catch you off guard a little bit.
Gary, I was writing something down actually. I like the fact that Gary Kirk actually sort of opened with saying their thanks again to John Eustace, et cetera. And that kind of took a little bit of the bitterness out of the opening statement.
Yeah. After everything that had gone on, it was a nice way to pay a little bit of respect that seemed like it had been missing from the other interviews announcements. But yeah, I agree.
And just on that note, because obviously we do need to move forward now, but the John Eustace's statement midweek, very classy.
Very classy, yeah.
So yeah, good luck to him in his future endeavours. I'm sure he'll make a good coach or manager at another club in the Championship probably. But yeah, back on to the press conference. But yeah, as you say, pretty impressive despite all the erms.
Ultimately, it's just how he speaks, isn't he? He's obviously not a confident guy in front of the camera or being interviewed. And it's a way of coping with it and dealing with being put on the spot for the questions. But the answers that he gave, you know, you can't argue with the responses that he came out with. He blew smoke up our arses a little bit.
He was well drilled before going out there absolutely. By the people he needed to be well drilled by, not a granny, but you know.
But he said the right things.
In both, in the little Blues TV interview thing that he did as well, I thought was quite good. Although, fuck knows what those camera angles and that editing was all about. That was driving me nuts.
Strangest third camera angle you've ever seen.
It was very odd. Very odd. But he said the right things, and I'm more on board now than I was a week or so ago, or when it all first started happening. I think the emotion of the way Eustace was sacked and just replacing him instantly with Rooney is kind of calmed down a bit now. Yeah. One thing we didn't mention last week was, I think we may have touched on it very briefly, but the manager, not head coach thing.
Yeah, I think we'd mentioned it privately and then we recorded, and I think maybe I did mention it on there briefly, but yeah, we didn't dig too much into it.
So obviously there's a element there because he's already mentioned they're targeting players together with Craig Gardner, so he's having a say in signings. That's interesting.
We've been obviously told that there was a couple of targets that they'd spoken to him about pretty much straight away as well.
Yeah, Louis Sibley. my guess will be it'll be a forward and a midfielder, but I have seen obviously links to Jack Butland as well recently, which completely like does not translate into the way he wants to play football, because no matter what you think of Jack Butland as a goalkeeper, he is not great with his feet. And I can't understand why you'd want to move for him, because it doesn't really work for me.
Is there anything in that though, or is it another Carlton Palmer says do it?
No, it's an Alan. It actually came from Alan Nixon.
That was it first. I mean,
obviously, his stuff hasn't been mega accurate on Blues recently. But with that in mind, I'm pretty sure he's got a good line into Paul Stretford, who is Wayne Rooney's agent. So whether or not there's actually anything in it, or whether it's just a thing to Rangers want to move him on and try or something, I don't know. But
he's on quite hefty wages, apparently, isn't he?
I saw someone say he was on 30 grand a week at Rangers. I'm not sure I believe that.
I've got no idea.
It might have even been more than that, that I think I saw. Yeah, I'm not convinced. Outside of Rangers, there's very little, Rangers and Celtic, there's very little money in Scotland. And even the two Glasgow teams don't pay huge amounts compared to, well, Championship, really. So, but yeah, I'm probably not reading too much into that one. So any other takeaways from that press conference? Anything he said?
I was just quite impressed in general with how he came across. Ultimately, it was very positive stuff. Again, and I said this after his first video as well, you can't just say win and that's enough. You have to back it up on the pitch.
100%.
And that's the... So as good as the interviews can come across, as good as the press conferences can come across, you have to back it up on the pitch.
Walking the talk, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. I did a podcast with a guy the other day who's a Sunderland fan.
Traitor!
I've got to get my name out there. And he basically asked me like what he expects for the next couple of games. And I said, it's a complete unknown for us now as to where we're going to go. Not only are they a tough five games coming up, but we don't know how we're going to set up. Is he going to set up with the same style, the same system? Are they going to tweak
it? Same players.
Yeah, same players. It, who knows? And I mean, in the week, JJ's gone off and smashed it again for Wales on international duty. Is he going to think, well, he's doing well, why is he not playing? I'm going to bring him in. So there's all sorts of options and things. And this next few games, like I say, it's a complete unknown. And we'll just find out as and when, won't we?
One of the things that I think piqued my interest, and I think piqued a lot of people's interest, was his comment around Blues being a potentially huge story, one of the biggest stories in football in the coming years. There's so much you can read into that or take from that, but it was not really expanded on. So I'm guessing it's really just the ownership, the investment, the potential almost definite stadium move, everything else is going to go hand in hand with it. It's interesting to hear him say that, actually, someone of his status actually come out and say, yeah, and not just because he's the new manager. But I was surprised that wasn't picked up outside of our Birmingham City circle. I thought some of the national media may have picked up on that.
I think it clearly is a big, it's a project, and it is what it is. People buy into it, don't they? And yes, I'm sure he's been given whatever plans there are for the stadium. He's been sold that, I'm sure. He said that he'd spoken to Tom Brady as well. So he'll obviously be connected. And who knows, the Elon Musk thing that's been out there. Has he been told, like, given a free Tesla?
I don't have any time for that guy at all. So I hope that he stays well clear of our football club. I'm not going to get into it. But I just don't like that guy at all.
If his money was at Blues and that was it, happy days. Because he's got plenty of it.
He'd want to move us to Mars or something. Would be like franchise. The Mars Blue Noses.
No, we're going to be the first team to play on Mars.
It moved us there permanently.
Argue with it. Imagine.
Yeah, you know, but it, you've seen Total Recall. You know how disastrous it would be.
No, I don't.
You haven't seen Total Recall.
If they move us to Mars, I'm just going to support Coleraine, I think. So. Bucky Lawn is franchise football in space. Prick.
Franchise football in space.
I've foreseen it. It sounds like it might actually happen. So I was listening to the Keep Right On Bag of Dicks podcast earlier on, driving home from Lisbon. I say that in I mean that in a loving way. Brian knows how much I respect him and like him. They had Curtis Davies on there, which actually was quite a good interview, just about his time at Blues and stuff. But they actually got onto the Wayne Rooney bit. He mentioned, and this plays into a little bit what we were talking about earlier with the manager thing, that he said Wayne's a real people person. He's a people motivator. He's a man manager. He's not really a coach. He kind of lets the others get on with the coaching side of the game. So I guess that's from the sort of Fergie book of management, because Ferguson used to pretty much, he'd have a little bit of time on the pitches with them and then just leave the rest of it to the coaches, and he'd do the kind of the G'ing up, the mentality side of things, looking after them from the man management side things. I thought that was just kind of interesting from Curtis Davies, who's obviously worked with him. He had some good things to say about Ashley Cole as well, actually, on the podcast. Worth listening to. Don't consider it a rival podcast. So if anyone that hasn't listened to it, feel free to go and have a listen. I thought it was quite good. But yeah, he had a few comments about Wayne wanting to implement a style of football. He wants you to keep the ball. He wants you to be brave. He'd rather you passed it to feet, etc. He'd rather see you make a mistake whilst being brave than hammering it down the pitch and getting it out of trouble.
Yeah.
Which
I saw that, so I haven't got to see the podcast yet or to listen to it, but I saw the comments on social about that. And that's gonna be, I think, a breath of fresh air. I know that Eustace had got them playing some good stuff around the back. But to not panic and to keep trying to play.
I think what it means for us as fans is we just need to be patient and accept those mistakes, though.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that won't happen because it never happens. There'll be a certain portion of fans that will accept it and will understand it's part of the process. There'll be others that will lose their shit at it, and we'll probably all lose our shit at it at some points, because sometimes it just needs to go into rosette, doesn't it? Let's be honest, rather than pissing around on the edge of your box or whatever.
It happens at the top level as well, though. And it does, John Stones, how many times has he done it for England where he's turned himself into trouble?
Man City as well. Pep Guardiola, I've seen him come out and say he's not going to have a go, that he wants his players to do that. Ultimately, it's the way they play.
Exactly, yeah.
What we've got to make sure is that this thing doesn't happen on a consistent basis and we start getting dicked by teams, because it's going to be it'll get quite concerning if it's going to happen every game.
Now it's time this week for
aye, 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 send him to Cornea.
If you're a long-term listener, you will know that this is a humorous part of the podcast. Everything that's generally said is said in jest. Unfortunately, we sent someone to Cornea last week, a Blues fan. Didn't go down very well with that person. And we just wanted to say we're very sorry. Well, I'm very sorry. I'm sending myself to Cornea this week for causing any upset last week. We're not going to mention who the person was, so apologies if you don't know and you, who was it? I'm not going to tell you. Just want to say sorry for any upset that was caused. It wasn't intended in an upsetting way. It wasn't intended to cause any hurt or distress. Apologies.
Free holiday to Cornea, though, isn't it?
Oh, that's what I'm looking at. I'm going for a bit of sun.
Yeah, go and see how you get on with the EFL referees, mate.
Aye, aye, aye. Send him to Cornea.
So breaking news whilst we're recording the podcast, Gary Rower has been sacked from Millwall.
Oh.
I don't know if either of you two have seen that or not.
No.
So I wonder if they've got a manager lined up.
This was my thinking. As soon as I saw it, my initial thinking was, I wonder, because he'd be a pretty good fit there as well, I think. Eustace, that is. So,
yeah.
I think a lot of their fans wanted Rower out for a little while, haven't they? They've been a little bit perplexed, but certainly this season, they've not been overly kind about his style of football, which I can understand to a point.
Yeah. Well, we watched it long enough.
Yeah. So I'm sure he won't be out of a job for very long either. But yeah, that was quite interesting because that felt to me like a good landing spot for Eustace, providing he's all right commuting, or they're all right with him commuting.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that, anybody?
Dave?
I'm still thinking Eustace will end up back at QPR, to be honest. I kind of hope he goes there. But I know we yet to see any movement from them in terms of Ainsworth. But you're right, yeah, Millwall could be his next position.
Ainsworth can't have too much longer left at QPR because he's going to ultimately take them down if he doesn't sort his shit out there.
I'm surprised they haven't moved before now.
He's such a, what's the word? He's a club legend, isn't he? They all love him there. So it's kind of difficult for them to maybe make that decision. But ultimately, they're going to have to at some point unless they want to end up in League One.
Or they encourage him to step aside.
He could probably get them out of League One, to be fair. He did. He got Wickham out of League One, didn't he, into the Championship and then took them back down again, naturally. Yep. So
just has some very quirky ways of management, doesn't he?
That is true, yeah.
Yeah. Some interesting things that he's done. I could see Eustace going there. Obviously, depends on the commute. I think that we spoke about it before, that he wants probably a job that he can live at home with the family and not have to uproot and move everyone away. So as long as they're happy, like you say, with him commuting and he's happy to commute there, it's not the best of commutes, I wouldn't have thought, but if that's the way that it was going to go, like you say, I could see him as a good fit, and that is a good job for him.
Well, good luck to both of them, whatever happens.
Yeah, absolutely. But back onto Blues.
Oh, it's Lone Watch.
So back onto this week's Lone Watch. What have you got for us, Stuart?
Well, the big one is and apparently we've loaned out Zlatan Ibrahimovic to Accrington Stanley.
Yep. As good as Drogba as well, apparently.
Yeah.
Prime Drogba.
It was quite nice to read that, actually. Josh Andrews has scored three goals in his last two games. Absolute colossus up front for Accrington over the past couple of games, apparently. So looks like he's really settling in now because he had a couple of tough loan spells away. Sounds like he's starting to use his frame and his size to his advantage now. I think that's always been a bit of a
struggle.
Yeah, struggle for him.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the goals, but they're just absolutely beasting players to get to the ball. It's like the way that he's winning headers. He's like unstoppable. He's got the nickname Baby Zigic, but I actually reckon that he's better in the air than Zigic at the moment.
Yeah, well, Zigic was never great in the air, no. He was like, he was more of a nuisance in the air. It's just his height. But yeah, I'm keen to see what happens with Josh Andrews because I always quite rated him when I watched him in the younger age groups, and I think it was really key. This was a really important loan move for him. A, he needed to stay fit because he's left the last few loans with injuries. And B, he just needed to really find his footing in professional football and start scoring goals. So I think he's got an option on his contract, so it'd be interesting to see if we do trigger that. I think it's important that, you know, that decision's probably made fairly early on, but he's going the right way about it by scoring goals now.
There's obviously the recall option as well in January. Not so much for us, but if there was a potential opportunity for him to, which we've seen before,
higher up the league or something,
move to a different team, that maybe you're a bit more suited. But like personally, if someone's having a good season and enjoying themselves, just leave them where they are and let them develop. Because you run the risk of taking them out of that environment, putting them into a different one, and it completely halting any progress.
Yeah, I think for me, whatever happens to him, he needs to just be continue to play regularly. Accrington are doing all right in League Two, but ideally, you might want to loan him to a League One team if you get the chance, if there's a team interested. So we'll see how he gets on there. Still no game time for Nico Gordon at Solihull, but he has featured twice for Montserrat against Nicaragua in two back-to-back 3-0 defeats. So, well done, I think.
Struggling to find any positive from that.
Having plenty of loan time on international duty then?
Yeah.
On loan,
he's
on
not
loan.
Played. I think he's only been in the squad once or twice since we last spoke about him on the podcast. I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but at least he's getting some game time at whatever level the CONCACAF Nations League is. Montserrat versus Nicaragua.
Is there with him being at national league level, is the opportunity to recall him and loan him out again? Do you know, or is that only like emergency loans?
I guess it depends if there's a break clause in January, because it's a season long loan, isn't it? So it will be down to if all three parties agree. I'm guessing I'm not sure how it works. National, but he's on a season long loan though.
Yeah, but National League don't have that the January window, do they? They can continue to sign players year round, can't they? Or is that stopped?
I'm not 100% sure, actually. I probably need to double check that myself. So I don't actually know. I haven't paid that much attention to it. I
don't know if that is still the case, but it was the case that if your player hadn't gone out to an EFL side, that you could loan them out to a National League side at any point, because they just continue playing. And I think it's just to do with them being semi-pro teams, or certainly a large proportion of the teams down in the National League being semi-pro teams. So they can't commit to having long-term contracts. I don't know if that is still the case, but it certainly was. So whether we would be able to recall if needed. Not that we need him, but you know, if he's not getting game time for his own.
I mean, the reason he's gone there was really, I think a few people were shocked at him going down to that level. I'm sure there was reasons behind it. He's had his own things to get through, but the fact he's not playing is really doing no good for his development. So there needs to be a decision made at whatever point they can make that decision to loan him out somewhere to get game time, because otherwise they may as well just consider moving him on.
Yeah.
Whether that's in the summer or whatever. What else have we got? Tate Campbell still injured, still no game time for Bromley, unfortunately. So that loan's going really well. Zach Jeacock, Gloucester City are sitting at second bottom in whatever league they're in now. Josh Williams seems to be playing regularly for Cheltenham, so fair play to him. On that note, actually, I noticed the local news reporter for Cheltenham had mentioned that Blues had been tracking one of their players over the past sort of six or nine months. And he was wondering whether we'd still hold an interest with Wayne Rooney at the helm. I'm not 100% sure who that is, but it'd be interesting to see if anything does come from that in the January window.
I think the last one to mention in loan watch, and we've already mentioned him, was Jordan James, isn't it?
On loan to Wales. On loan to Wales, yeah. A couple of games.
Yep.
Absolutely killed it against Croatia midweek.
I've not seen any of what he's done, but I've seen tweets on social media that people saying how good must Birmingham's midfield be if he can't get in the team.
He can't get in it.
Which,
yeah, ultimately the midfield pairing for us has been pretty good, and I'm still not 100% sure where JJ's best position is in the midfield. Is it in the middle there in a two? Is it in the middle with a three? Is it more as an advanced midfield? I think they played wing backs, didn't they, Wales? So when I looked at it on live score, it looked like he was playing wide right, but actually I think it may have been like wide right of a three in midfield. Maybe he would be better in a midfield three, and that's why he hasn't really been utilised so far. But Rooney hasn't seen him in person yet, so he'll get some time. Well, I'm guessing he'll arrive back today or tomorrow and have some time and maybe a training session. And whether or not that's would give Rooney enough time to make a decision this week, probably not.
No, but I can't imagine
it's a long season. So it's a long season. So we may see him. We may see him again. But so good for JJ. Good for the profile of Birmingham City as well. I think it's only be a good thing that, you know, that people are singing his praises.
Oh, it's Loan Watch.
If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to like, share and comment on social media.
And if the podcast platform allows it, please rate and review us.
Cheers, guys.
So Rooney's first game is creeping closer. Middlesbrough on Saturday. Borough who are unbeaten in six and won their last five, scoring 13 goals, and I think only conceding two or three. Nice, easy start for him then.
Yeah, it's going to be a very tough opener. But then equally, we're a complete unknown to them now.
Also true.
Anything that they'd done looking at how we set up and play could be just completely out the window. It's a really tough one for us to talk about, isn't it? Because we can talk about how they play or how they are doing in the league. But in regards to us now, we've just got no marker at all for how we're going to come out and play. It's like a completely fresh start. And, you know, they've had, 2 weeks, but they've probably spent a week of it on the training ground with Rooney.
Yeah, they've had a few days off, haven't they, as well? I think they had sort of
3 days over the weekend.
Yeah. A few days over the weekend. And obviously, John O'Shea and Ashley Cole only hooking up with the coaching staff on, or probably today, I'd imagine, or maybe tomorrow, a bit like the JJ situation. Other players, I think Bakuna has obviously been on international duty as well. So there's a few players that Rooney's only going to get a first chance to see over the next day or two. I mean, for me, the Borough, the recent form, I mean, they beat Sunderland 4-0 their last game out.
They beat Sunderland 4-0 last time out. Cardiff 2-0 before that. Watford away, they won 3-2. And then Southampton at home, they beat 2-1. So in the league, yeah, they've had a decent run of fixtures. Results.
It's I could think of better games to start your tenure off.
So with that in mind, then, what do you think the expectation is from Middlesbrough? I mean, do we think that he's largely going to start with the, you know, I think you've discussed in the past about Rooney favouring formations, which largely, you know, we've been using this season. So do you think we're going to see pretty much a similar team?
Well, Ben from Blues Breakdown said last week, didn't he, that Rooney has favoured a 4-2-3-1 in the past. So yeah. I could very much see us lining up very similar to how we have been this season. Whether we do, it remains to be seen, and whether the personnel in that lineup are the same. I can't imagine that he's going to, if it's me, I don't want to go in and go, right, we're going to completely overhaul things and change things. You want to go in, you want to keep some continuity there, tweak it a little bit and get the take the best of what we have been doing and develop it. So maybe, I think we mentioned last week, maybe sort of playing a bit more with a bit more freedom for the fullbacks and letting them both have a go, and playing a bit more wide football. And that might involve bringing Duke into the team as your target man, playing with Stansfield. I don't know, but there's every opportunity for them to just tweak how we've been playing.
I think I think personnel wise, we're probably going to see the same team. There may be one slight change, and that may be Bakuna, because he's been away. We don't know when he's due to get back, how tired he is, etc. I know last time, I think he came up international duty. I think he started the next game. Can't remember how he played, to be honest, but I would imagine because Rooney's not seen him in person, he's less likely to probably pick him. So yeah, what that looks like for us, whether he goes with Ollie Burke down that right hand side, or maybe he actually moves Miyoshi out there and that brings maybe Gary Gardner into the middle, or just something a lot. We don't know what he'll do. He could do something like that. So Gary Garner's obviously fully fit now, off the back of a tremendous free kick as well.
You've baffled me there.
Well, you don't know what he's going to do, do you?
We don't know at all. But for me, that's like,
because it's not really
there's some way back for him.
There's not really, with all the injuries we've got, unless you're going to then move Stansfield out wide, or maybe play Stansfield as a 10 and then put Hogan back up top.
Well, that's what I was suggesting, Duke.
I'm not sure he's going to go with that though. I don't know. No.
I'm just saying that there's the option there.
How do you think fans would react to that though? Seeing, you know, Duke and Hogan coming back in when arguably they're almost, it's felt like they've been heading the other way. Do you think people are going to actually think that's a backward step almost? I mean, injuries and kind of availability aside, is that what we want to see?
People will support it initially under Rooney, but if it was something that happened continually and they weren't performing, the same thing had happened under Eustace.
Look at his selection of Hogan, but it got slated. Yeah.
It's difficult because we've still got quite a lot of injuries. It's not that if you take into account that Bakuna and James Rooney just come back from internationals. There's not really that much there to choose from unless he's going down the route of Brandon Keeler or he looks at one of the youngsters, because everyone else, really, you're picking from Iwu, Mark Roberts, and that's pretty much it.
Well, maybe then, you know, given James's performances for Wales, he may be one of the people that slotted in.
Potentially, but I think the fact that Rooney's not actually seen him play or train in person, or had any time to train, shape, etc., with them in the build-up to the game, I'd be surprised to see him pick a player he's not had any time with.
You never know, though. A couple of days on the back of a rave reviews while he's on international duty, you never know what might happen. Especially if, like you say, Bakuna's not back. He's not back for another day or two.
Do we think there'd be any surprises in the team selection?
Oh, I genuinely don't think there will be.
My only thinking was the fact that he wants to play football around the back. He wants players to be brave. Is that there may be an argument that he would maybe drop Kevin Long and play Ayew next to Sanderson. Now, I wouldn't do that because I think playing those two next to each other is asking for trouble from a defensive point of view. I think you need one of those more robust, head it, kick it, old school defenders next to someone like Sanderson. I'd be worried playing Ayew and Sanderson next to each other.
I think that might massively ruffle feathers in the team as well, because yeah, the manager's been changed, but the centre-back pairing have done well this season.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Arguably, Long has been the better of the two defenders.
I agree, yeah.
I can't see it. Yeah, there's every opportunity for him to do it because it's the new guy coming in, but I think what you want to do is make some stability during that change. I mentioned it earlier, and just a bit of continuity, and don't rock the ship too much straight away. Do it gradually. I can't see it, but you never know. And to be fair, I was waiting for his chance, isn't he?
So. He's probably thinking that, oh, I've got a chance to actually get in the team now. He's probably,
what the he fuck have I done coming here? Yeah.
Do we think there might be any other youngsters called up or in the squad? Or?
Well, there's been talk of Junior Dixon, hasn't there?
I can't see that.
I don't think that... There's been a lot of talk about it, but
there's a lot of social media hype around a guy that hardly anybody's seen any footage of. They've seen him score goals in under 21s. Kyle McFarlane scored a shitload of goals in under 21s. I don't think he is even playing I think he's playing non-league now. But he was last seen playing for Leamington or something like that. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to Junior Dixon, but my point is people need to just chill out a little bit. He scored a few goals in the 21s, and that's fair enough. He came from Crystal Palace. Yeah, get it. But if he was good enough to be playing in the Championship, Crystal Palace probably wouldn't have looked to let him go. So, and I think also he played midweek against Fleetwood and got pulled off at half time. Lucky chap.
Lucky boy.
lucky. I don't think he played particularly well against Fleetwood. So people probably need to just have a look, have a think about their expectations of him. He's still a young lad. He's going to take in time to acclimatise. And you know, I'm sure if he's good enough, Rooney will give him a chance. But as like you say, I don't think we'll see him in the squad anytime soon.
Okay, so coming on to predictions, what do we think, Chris? 4-0.
No.
Is that out of your system now?
It's a new era now. And I know that we new era. I know that we had it was 4-1. I was classing it as we scored four goals. I haven't got a predictor to score four goals again. So, I don't know. Yeah, probably maybe. 1-1. No, do you know what? 2-0.
What a turnaround.
To who? Yeah.
Blues.
Interesting.
Mr. Matthew?
I also believe Blues will score two goals, but what? I think we'll concede three.
Do you remember the game? Sorry, just before you do your prediction, Vegan, do you remember the Middlesbrough game where I think Clinton Morrison was playing it with maybe it would have been a Premier League game. We got last minute tickets, but we had to pick them up at the Riverside. And we found out at like, I don't know, 11 o'clock or something that we had these tickets, but we had to get there in 3 hours. To pick them up, and we basically got to Alton Towers and gave up.
Did you actually go to Alton Towers and go on a ride?
We drove into Alton Towers, but it was closed. So we went to Drayton Manor Park instead. And half of the rides were shut. But we were on that one that goes up and down and drops you. And every time that we came off a ride, there was another goal that had been scored. Was it like 4-2 or 4-3 or something that season? It was, I'm sure we lost, but they scored 4 goals. But I'm sure Morrison scored. But every time that we went on a ride and came off, there was another goal. It was like, fuck it out. But yeah, we didn't end up missing an epic win. So it wasn't terrible. Come on then, Vegan, your prediction.
I'm really sorry. I don't have a theme park related football story. In terms of Middlesbrough, that part of the country, basically anything north of Leeds, between Leeds and Scotland, it's just kind of all industrial wasteland, isn't it? I'm not too sure. But I think...
I was going to say, we're having a prediction at some point.
Five, yeah,
we
just
discuss the area.
1-0, slightly more positive. Stansfield.
Fair.
That Middlesbrough game was 5-3, by the way.
5-3, there you go. I told you loads.
I think the Morrison did score.
There you go.
So you went to at least 5 rides that day.
Yeah. Gareth Southgate scored in that game as well.
Fucking hell. Mate, you're making me feel really old now.
Was this in about 1998?
2000, well, no, because we weren't in the Premier. 2004.
Yeah, mate, some throwback. Are we going to quickly talk about Hull? There's obviously, we can't really say too much about the team or anything, can we?
No, and see, Hull are mid-table, just a couple of places below us, I think. They've not lost very many, but they've drawn an awful lot. So,
no, yeah, Keenan Davis for them?
No.
not that he went there. He absolutely flat out refused to go and live in Hull. But, and who wouldn't?
I mean, I've been to Hull, and it's like a fucking time warp. I remember the first time I went there and I drove through. I was on my way to... Where's that?
You're on the way to a theme park.
Maybe a theme park, yeah. And I got lost in 1980 and couldn't find my way out. It's, even the way the people were dressing, it was weird.
Capital of culture, mate.
It was
capital of culture, isn't it?
It probably was about 50 years ago.
Yeah, maybe pre-war potentially. I don't know. Yeah, for me, that one, based on the fact that they have been drawing quite a few games, I would say 1-1.
So I'm gonna say that's going to be a 2-0 as well. Based on goal, to be fair.
That 2-0 victory.
2-0 victory, yeah. Yeah, so we're gonna win the next two games 2-0.
And I'm going for 1-0 Blues.
I hope that we get a result against Middlesbrough. Obviously I hope that we win every game, but I hope that we get a decent result against Middlesbrough so that the first home game is backed by people, because if things go tits up at Borough away, it's going to be very easy for people to get on their backs with the new manager, and it's not what they need. Ideally, we'd have had the home game first, but it hasn't panned out that way.
Well, I don't know. I think even if Middlesbrough is a disaster, I think people will give him maybe a little bit of a pass.
I don't disagree. But if it goes tits up, it's not going to be easy, is it?
Look, Hull's going to be fine. You know why Hull's going to be fine? It's a night game, and we've got fireworks.
Oh, do you know what? We're at home, aren't we, against Hull? I take 2-1 Blues. Sorry, yeah, forget my 1-1. I forgot it. We are at home. Yeah, so I'm going 2-1 Blues.
That's because the vegans started talking about all Hull's countryside and whatever else that's going on.
And then I got excited because he mentioned fireworks. So,
blame it on the vegan. Fine.
Do they do vegan fireworks? Is that a thing?
Shut up.
I don't think there's animals in fireworks, is there?
Maybe a market for you there, Dave.
Right.
You should know, Matthew, you live in firework and bonfire country.
I do live in bonfire country. I was going to say not around this time of year, but actually, yeah, they do like their bonfires and fireworks at Halloween. We obviously don't have November the 5th here for obvious reasons. But I won't be here for Halloween. I'll be back in England with my family visiting my English family.
Right, should we close this off? No, nope. Just like
this is makes gone. It sound like you've got a whole different Irish family and English family.
Technically, sort of.
Are you setting up franchises everywhere?
I've got all my children. I've got family. Irish passports. So you know,
but in December you'll be visiting your Welsh family.
No, we don't visit the Welsh family. We don't talk about the Welsh family, do you?
No. Right, let's leave it there, boys.
So on that note,
yeah, until next time, enjoy the game at the weekend and enjoy the whole game and keep right on.
Party on, Wayne. Keep right on.
Keep right on.